Father, we praise you for your spirit that dwells here amongst us. And now just open our hearts to you. Give us hearts that are able to hear and receive your word this day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So have you ever been in a conversation with somebody who wasn't very present? You know, the kind of conversations that we often get into these days where you're talking to somebody and every once in a while they're looking down at their phones. And you're never quite sure, but it's clear that they're not fully present with you. And then today people always have these earbuds in their ears, like my son. And you never quite know what they're listening to on the other side. Are they listening to me or are they listening to something else? But in either case, you might be bearing your soul to them and they wouldn't even know it because they aren't fully present with you. You know, technology has become a real barrier to deep communication and real connection these days. Our modern situation actually parallels the parable that Jesus told the crowds more than 2,000 years ago. God is constantly speaking, but are we in a place to be able to hear? So turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13 today. We're going to be looking at this great parable that Jesus left us with. Now, while Jesus' ministry certainly gathered huge crowds, his message was not welcomed and acted upon who heard it. His proclamation of the triumphant kingdom and the demonstration of its power certainly excited the people as they gathered together. And yet, God's kingship was not universally embraced. Why? Well, in response, Jesus stood in a boat on the Sea of Galilee before a massive crowd on the shore and told them the parable of the sower. Now, we see here that there is fruitful and unfruitful seed. Where the seed has not grown, the fault lies in the soil rather than the message itself. And the types of soil that described here are not in terms of groups, but in terms of just general categories that could be applicable to any time, even today. And therefore, this parable is a profound diagnostic tool to examine how we receive and respond to God's word. Now, the focus of the text is less on the sower's technique and more on the condition of the human heart. Jesus is testing the hearts of the crowd to reveal whether the message of the kingdom has taken root and producing fruit, or whether it has been unproductive. The four-part structure describes the different kinds of soil on which seeds fall when sown by a farmer. And in verse 9, Jesus tells us that we can interpret the parable this way, that a farmer or sower is the one who shares the gospel. He's the one who shares God's word. In this case, that farmer is Jesus, but on any occasion, it's anyone who shares God's word. The seed is the word of the kingdom, which is inherently perfect, powerful, and life-giving. And the soil is the human heart. And in every case, the message is heard. But what matters is what happens next. So as the farmer begins to sow seeds, inevitably, some of it went beyond the range or was sown in places that had not yet been plowed. The birds reach the seed before the path has been plowed or buried, and then it's totally wasted because the birds actually come and eat it all up. So think of a newly paved driveway. And you're planting grass seeds. And if you scatter grass seed on this cement, the plants never grow up. Why? Because, well, the seeds can't go deep into the concrete in order to have roots. And eventually the wind blows it away or the birds will eat it up. The failure of the first seed to penetrate the earth symbolizes a lack of understanding. The seed sits on the surface and is never able to penetrate it. The situation represents those who don't understand the message and allow the evil one to snatch it up. Some hearts have been steeped in pain, bitterness, or cynicism over the years, and so much so that they're packed tight like concrete. The truth just bounces off of them. They can't hear it. This is the hardened heart. And we all know people like this, don't we? Now, some of the seeds fell on rocky ground where there is not much soil. And this scenario would have been familiar to those that who farmed in the rocky ground of Galilee at this time, where the bedrock is often very close to the surface. Now, it's not clear why the seed sown on such thin soil rises up quicker than the other scenarios, but it's unable to grow plants and sustain themselves when the heat is on and the shallow soil quickly parched. The enthusiasm of the hearers suggests the crowds who have been following Jesus so eagerly. In Jesus' last days in Jerusalem, nothing will be seen of these enthusiastic followers from the early days. Note that these people are said to hear and receive the message, but not to understand. The problem is the lack of roots in themselves. Their enthusiasm is based on external stimuli, not on the inner conviction, and so it will not last when that external is no longer there. The scorching sun demonstrates that following Jesus will not always be easy. It proves no guarantee that there won't be suffering. These rootless people, for all their initial enthusiasm, are in the end no less neutralized than the snatched seed as far as the kingdom of heaven is concerned. You know, I have memories of some of the leaders actually in my inner varsity chapter in college who were so passionate about their faith, and they served as examples to us. Well, after they left university and entered into the working world and just faced the pressures of life, some of them walked away from the faith and never returned again. The third case fell amongst thorns. Here, the danger is not from inadequate resources in the soil, but from competition. Abundant growth of thorns shows that there is nothing wrong with the soil. The problem is that it's already occupied, and there's no room for this type of vegetation. The plants don't necessarily die, but they cannot produce grain because they struggle for light and nutrition. The thorns here are modern distractions, screen time, debt, career ambitions, addictions, and constant worry. These things choke time with God, leaving us with no energy or room to grow spiritually. The hazards represented by the thorns is a prominent feature in Jesus' teaching, exemplified in the story of the young man who turned back from following Jesus because he had many possessions. True disciples, by contrast, have left everything. The divided heart, like this, may see sprouts, but the concerns with possessions, ambitions, wealth, and worries reveals a focus on the world, which is incompatible with commitment to the kingdom of heaven. And the tension is symbolized by the choking of the grain. There's no room for both God and manna to take priority in a person's allegiance. The grain, while it may survive, will produce no crop for the kingdom of God. Churches are filled with people like this, who once responded to the teaching of Jesus or have been brought up in the church, but over time, they produced no fruit because the world has such a hold over their lives. And finally, other seed fell on good soil, and it produces grain. The bearing of crop indicates an understanding that's not merely an intellectual grasp, but it's rather a lifestyle commitment, which the message of the kingdom demands and which has been thwarted by adverse circumstances and divided loyalties in the previous two scenarios. The receptive heart hears, understands, and embraces the word. You know, think of a dry, thirsty sponge in a bucket of water. It doesn't fight the water, but it immediately absorbs it, expands, and changes. And when you squeeze it, what's inside comes pouring out. The good soil is soft, open, and ready. It takes up God's word and allows it to change internal character and naturally produces abundance of fruit for everyone around to see. They yield a harvest, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. Disciples are not all the same, and so equally genuine disciples will produce at different levels depending upon different gifts and circumstances. The requirement is to produce the best crop that each is capable of, and to recognize that not all of us are the same. So which heart condition describes your current circumstances? Take an honest look. Are there rocks to clear or thorns to prune? Rest assured that the word itself is never the problem. It's not the preacher. God's word is always living and active, but our hearts are not always ready to receive it. In fact, the more that we reject it, the harder our hearts become. Our capacity to apprehend and appropriate spiritual truth dwindles the more that we discard it. To reject the truth is to start a long path of denial of reality and a heart that will eventually harden beyond the possibility of return. This became the situation of the Pharisees, who already had denied the working of the Spirit, leading them to reject the gospel of truth, and who were eventually hardened beyond the possibility of restoration. On the other hand, the more of God's truth that we embrace, the more our capacity for assimilating more of the truth. We will grow in a sort of spiritual geometric progression. The life-giving force is the seed, not the soil. And so the soil responds to the seed, and its response indicates the impact of the kingdom of God on our lives. Only those who receive the message deep in their hearts have allowed the life-giving gospel of the kingdom to take root and produce fruit. They will experience the transformation of the kingdom of God. And so we should not just hope for transformation. We should expect it because of the life-giving power of the gospel of the kingdom. You know, no matter how many years you've been following Jesus, we must maintain an openness to God's word to continue to understand and obey. The Christian faith is not a one-time event. It's a lifetime of being open to the Lord so that he can work in our lives. We are all too aware of public Christians who have been revealed to have long-term illicit sexual relationships, continued to serve in leadership positions nonetheless. They've continually rejected the conviction of the Spirit and the truth of God's word about their sin, and so their hardened their hearts against God. You know, such is the case, though, of the disciple who lives with a sin such as gossip or bigotry or gluttony or pride and rationalizes its appropriateness. These are sins less visible, but nevertheless can point to a heart hardened against God's leading. Jesus said, "He who has ears, let him hear," because it's only in hearing and obeying the truth that a person's heart is given over to the rule of God's kingdom and the possibility of personal growth in Christ-likeness. Resistance to God's word, shallowness, preoccupation with this world are real problems within the church. If you notice yourself becoming stagnant or resistant to God or stagnant in your spiritual growth, perhaps it's time to be intentional about cultivating a receptive heart. So how many of you garden? Okay, lots of you garden, good. Then you know that you sometimes have to take the time to aerate the soil before planting, right? To aerate simply means giving something room to be able to breathe so that it alters the texture. So gardeners and landscapers will aerate compacted soil by poking holes in it or extracting plugs of dirt, allowing oxygen, water, and nutrients to reach the grass and plant roots. And similarly, to cultivate a receptive heart may mean that we have to poke holes in our heart to allow spiritual nourishment of the Holy Spirit to penetrate deep inside of us. Sometimes this aeration occurs unintentionally, like when a catastrophic event forces us to reassess our priorities or causes us to be open to God's word in new ways. But we don't have to wait for tragedies to occur. We can practice intentional aeration techniques here and now to relieve the compaction of our hearts and allow God's Spirit into the depths of our souls. Here are three ways that I suggest that we can do this, but there are many others. First thing is be available. Set time to be in God's presence each day.